Welcome back, everyone. My name is Sam.
And I'm Melissa.
I grew up in the FLDS community. It is a polygamous group run by Warren Jeffs, and I moved out when I was 18 years old.
I was raised LDS. Sam and I have been married for 9 years and have two awesome kiddos.
Yes, we do. We want to quickly thank our donors, our YouTube members, and our new patrons on Patreon. We really do appreciate your love and support.
Yes, today we are back with our Mike King series, where Sam and Mike King went out to the Short Creek area. We've been doing interviews every Saturday and kind of reacting to these videos that you guys did. And it's been a lot of fun for me. We only have two left now at this point. So yeah. It's this one and one more next Saturday. And I'm kind of bummed because I've had a good time watching you guys go, like from an outsider's perspective where I wasn't able to be there that day. So
yeah, no, it was fun for me too. It was fun to rewatch these as well during that rainy day where we had so much fun, Mike and I, driving around the town and seeing some of these areas that I saw growing up so much and so many memories there. Just so cool to see a law enforcement outsider's perspective during that same time where I felt at that time that I was this very lucky child to be a part of such a great church and the only true religion, you know?
Yeah.
And to see kind of what other people were feeling during that time is very interesting to me.
Yeah, I think I'm excited for this one too, because this one is talking about the escape from the meeting house when the federal marshals came. And mm-hmm. So I'm very interested to hear Mike's perspective on it and what he knew, like if he knew.
Yeah.
I guess we'll have to get into it.
Yeah, we'll jump right in.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Sam here with Growing Up in Polygamy.
And Mike with Profiling Evil, and we have been having a blast as we go around and reminisce. Me from a cop's perspective,
yeah.
As a former investigator trying to infiltrate the FLDS, and you as a member of the FLDS.
Yes, just the memories flooding back as a little boy and a teenager living here and growing up in this beautiful place. As we stepped out of the truck here, I just said, man, I think I took for granted how beautiful it is. It's just such a beautiful, beautiful area.
It's unfortunate that as I'm saying how beautiful it is here, we have this meeting house behind us that is clearly run down and completely under construction at this time. They're actually turning this meeting house into a community center. So very excited to see what they do with it. But as you can see behind us right here, it is being completely remodeled.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. I was like, oh, dang, it's definitely under construction. However, as you're talking about the beauty, I was looking at the red mountain in the background.
And that's what I was referring to as I got out of the truck with Mike there, as I was looking around the community at all the beautiful cliffs and red mountains and things that definitely I took for granted as a young boy. I mean, it was just all I knew. It was my backyard. I had a lot of fun, but I didn't really sit there and soak in the beauty of the surrounding area.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see the community being rebuilt now, and some of these old, rundown, rugged homes are starting to turn into beautiful homes now. So it's just a nice area to visit again.
Yeah, it really is beautiful here, actually. Even with the rain drizzling down, you know, behind us is the FLDS church.
Yes.
The chapel, the main hub, the neurocenter of everything Warren Jeffs. And it just causes me, before we talk about it, to just come up with one question, Sam, that always has troubled me, is that the FLDS claimed to be such a church-going people, but they really didn't go to church.
Well, interestingly, back in the day, before Warren Jeffs took over, we did go to church quite a bit. So we would have a church meeting at 2 p.m. on Sunday. You probably wish you would have known that back then, huh?
Yeah. I would have been there. I'd have gone to church.
2 p.m. on Sundays, we would meet here for about 2 hours. Now, before that on Sunday, we would hold what we called Sunday school, but that was held in our own homes. And in our own homes is where we would partake of the sacrament. So we did it a little bit differently than the mainstream LDS church does. And of course, it was very different out here than the mainstream LDS church. But we did have like the sacrament with the bread and the water and things like that. And then we would come to chapel here and we would fill this place to the brim. I mean, this was packed full of cars in the parking lot here and in other parking lots across the street. Just filled this building full of people. We would come here and listen to the leaders talk for about 2 hours.
How many people can that building hold? Like, what was the most amount of people that you've seen?
So, for some reason, and I know that at its peak, the FLDS church had about 10,000-ish members. A lot, right?
Yeah.
But for some reason, I mean, there's no way 10,000 people fit in that building right there.
No.
And obviously there were other groups of people living in different places from the FLDS. One of the big groups was up in Canada, in Bountiful up there. And there were a few other different places scattered around. But I know that there were multiple thousand people would fit in there, but nowhere close to 10,000.
Okay.
And because my father was not only the mayor of the city, he was a patriarch of the church. So he had a very high calling within the priesthood in the church. And because of that, he actually gave talks quite frequently here as well.
That had to have been something. And if I remember right, the building itself would hold at a maximum maybe about 5,000 people, or is that, am I off on that?
I think you're about right in there, yes.
5,000 is still a lot.
Yeah.
5,000 is still a lot. And when you look, buildings can be deceiving as well, though, because from the outside, I mean, it's definitely a very large building when you see it in person. When it's in a camera frame like this, it doesn't really do it justice. Mm-hmm. Like when you see it in person, it definitely feels big, but then a lot of buildings can be that way. And then you go in and it's even larger than what you think.
Well, and you'll see here, so there's two levels. There is, when you walk into the building, it is, I guess you could call it a vaulted ceiling, where there is a ceiling directly above your head when you first walk in. But then the second level, from the middle of the building, you can look up and see all the way to the top of the ceiling. But on the sides where there these upper windows are, there is a balcony. And that's where a lot of people would sit up in the balcony as well. And then down on the main floor, that was all lined with chairs. So based on the way it was set up, we could fit a lot of people in there. And then along the halls on the sides of the building, there was also other rooms where people could go in and see and listen. There were monitors in those rooms, so you could kind of watch the meeting on a monitor. And like nursing mothers and things like that would go into the side rooms. And some families would generally spend time in the side rooms instead of going into the main hall, I guess you
could
say.
When you have young children.
Right. Yeah, if you have young children that are running around being noisy, that was typically where they would go.
For some reason, 2,000 was in my head, but I think it can hold more than 2,000.
Yeah, now I hope I haven't fouled that up, but that's the number I remember. So I want to talk about the day that the Warren Jeffs escaped federal marshal custody, because that was kind of a remarkable day, and I want to know if you were there when that happened. But to lay the groundwork, folks, what happened is in the church behind us, there was a large gathering. Warren Jeffs was speaking, and federal marshals came in and closed in on the area, surrounding the building and moving in. Willie Jessup relayed to me that his security officers alerted him inside that the raid was impending, and he put into action a plan that he had devised long before, which was to take Warren out of this door just near the dumpster and load him into an awaiting vehicle and head straight this direction, right over the top of us, and through a barricade of federal agents who were blocking this gate off. And then, as we can see on the drone here, what we've done is he headed straight across this dirt parking lot and into the river bottoms, where he turned and headed west out of town and escaped federal arrest.
So they had it very well planned out. It was no, what should we do? There was a plan put in place. If people are coming after the leaders of the church, we have an escape route. And that is what they did, and they got away. And I was there in that meeting, actually. It was a Saturday meeting. It wasn't a Sunday meeting. It was a Saturday morning meeting, which we started doing a lot of those as well, every Saturday. And that was more just so that Warren Jeffs could teach the people, and then we would talk about work projects that needed to be done around the community, and then we would go from there and do different types of work. So, but during that time, yes, I was facing this way right here, sitting on a chair, just a little bit down from the interesting thing about this is there were two different places where the leaders would speak and sit. On this end over here is where the main meeting was, and that was most of the time during Sunday meetings is where they would be sitting up here on the sand. And then there was a choir behind them in this building. On Sunday meetings, for whatever reason, we all faced this way, and the stand was down here. And there.
Were you meaning for Saturday meetings?
Yes, I meant to say for the Saturday meeting, for whatever reason, we switched the chairs around and were facing that way. And I think that it was just because it wasn't as sacred of a meeting, if you want to call it that. And so it was, we would switch it around to make it feel more like a work meeting. And I mentioned this, but it's kind of hard to hear some of what I'm saying with all the rain and all that. But Saturday meetings were typically like, we called them a work meeting. We would go there, Warren Jeffs would say what he said, claiming that he was talking for God. And then we would discuss some things that needed to be done around the community. Like some of these projects we did were massive, like building an entire home. And there were actually people that videoed a home being built in a day. So really, really crazy how the community could come together and just like working together like ants, I guess, and just boom, 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 and put a big old house up. Dang. I felt every time I went to those, I was a younger teenager. Every time I went to help at one of those houses, I felt like I was just in the way. I mean, I was just, and people were running around me 80 miles an hour. And I was just like, I don't know what's happening right now. So I didn't feel very helpful, but I was pretty young. So maybe that's why. But like these meetings is where they would come together and talk about the big wall that we put around Warren Jeffs and Ruland Jeffs home, that needed to be built. That was talked about in the meeting. And then from the meeting, people would just get in their vehicles and go to wherever they were assigned and get to work. So Saturday was a day of working for and in the community for free. Monday through Friday, we would go out and work in other surrounding cities to make money. Saturday, we'd work in the community. Sunday was a day of rest. So anyway, but yes, we would face different directions depending on if it was a Sunday meeting or a Saturday meeting.
Interesting.
There was another place for leaders to sit and preach, and there was a stage behind them there where sometimes they would put on performances or skits or that kind of thing.
I have no idea.
Right.
And you never found out the reasoning between the switch? Was it something to a more holier presentation because Warren was going to be speaking, or what was it?
I honestly don't really know why they switched. It seemed like they switched because of, you know, one was for Sunday and the other was for Saturday, more of like a work meeting. But a lot of preaching and stuff would go on there too.
So what was the mood inside when all of a sudden all these federal agents crashed through the doors?
Well, it was during the prayer, as I recall, and we all had our head bowed, and the person was up there saying the closing prayer, or I don't remember if it was the opening or closing. I thought it was the closing prayer of the meeting. And all of a sudden, we heard all of this commotion at the door, and we could tell something was happening, but we weren't sure what. And by the time I looked up, all of the leaders, or the main leaders of the church, were gone, and they had disappeared in the middle of the prayer. And of course, now we know they escaped federal authorities. And so it was a scary time for me. We didn't know what was going on, but we did know that there were men, bodyguards of Warren Jeffs and leaders that were holding off the officials, the law authorities, and wouldn't let them come in the door. And that's what all the commotion was.
You know, so that really.
After it happened, did everyone just leave and go home? Or like, that's probably why you can't remember if it was the beginning or the ending, because even if it was the opening prayer, you open your eyes, the leaders are all gone, federal marshals are there. Did everyone just scurry home?
At that point, everyone just went home and tried to mind their own business. Unfortunately, it wasn't even that big of a surprise for someone like myself. Mm-hmm. We had been taught our entire lives that the outside world was going to persecute us, that people are going to try to take down God's church, that people are going to try to catch the leaders because they don't want God's work to move forward, right? So they would use those kinds of terms to, I don't know if it was to convince us that if ever they were in trouble, it was because it was the bad guys doing bad things against God's church. Mm-hmm. But when it happened, I was frightened. Don't get me wrong. I had heard about other raids that have happened in the community and the families were split apart. And so I was just waiting for the moment that a law enforcement agent would grab me and say, you can't be with your family. And that would be the end of it, because that was the fear that was instilled in our hearts. And so when this happened, I was frightened, but I wasn't that surprised. And I have a feeling that the rest of the community was similarly thinking that way. So yes, when it happened, we just said, well, the leaders are in God's hands. Hopefully they got away, and we're going to head back to our homes and pretend that nothing happened and try to go on and hope that people don't break down our doors at our home. So I don't know. It was very interesting and frightening, but not a big surprise. It was just, okay, well, the times are here. This is what we've been preparing for.
Dang.
It begs the question that when they escaped, what did that do to your belief that this truly was a prophet of God?
It built it 10 times. You know, it was a very big faith-promoting experience for all of us, I would say. And really, that's when Warren Jeffs was finally caught and put in prison. That was so hard for me to wrap my brain around how it could possibly happen, because I thought every time that the authorities were after him, he was going to escape because God was on his side.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys mentioned that at the end, like how Warren, not only, like you said, not only were you prepared for it because mm-hmm. you'd been told that that's what was going to happen, but then when it does, it's just a fulfillment of prophecy, right?
Right, right. I have to give props to me and Mike, our acting skills, as we were sitting there pretending that everything was normal, and you can just see us like dripping with, we're just like, yeah.
When he called it a drizzle, I'm like, nope. That looks like a little more than a drizzle.
Oh, man. It was a fun time, though. Anyway, yeah, it was definitely a faith-building experience when, like I said here, when Warren Jeffs was being chased. But yes, when he was caught, it was very hard to swallow that the idea that God's prophet was caught and put in prison. But immediately our minds went to, oh, this is what God wants. He's going to go to prison, and then he is going to be able to show the world that he actually is a man of God, and they're going to either release him, or if they don't release him, God will break down the prison walls. He will walk free, like some of the stories in the Bible. And that will be proof to the world that, look, this is who he claims to be. So we just expected that. And my mother would tell me, and my father, that, and other community members, that this was going to happen. We were waiting, and I thought very soon it would happen, that he would break out of prison and be free, yeah. Gather his people together. And, you know, in my mind at the time, that was a good thing. Now I have different ideas about what that would mean. So, but anyway, it was just so quick for us to switch our mindset to, oh, I can't believe he was caught, to, oh, this is what happens to holy man. And stories in the Bible, stories about Joseph Smith, stories about other people that were put in prison just because, in our minds, that Satan was persecuting God's church. Yeah. That was really what we were told.
So interesting. Well, if you want to hear more of what it was like for Sam to grow up in polygamy, then please like and subscribe. Stay tuned for next week. It'll be our last one of this series, yes. Which is crazy to think. But yeah.
Have no fear. I have a feeling there will be more with Mike King to come.
There we go. We'll talk to y'all soon.
Thank you all so much for being here with us again. We look forward to talking with you soon.